taking a big interview.
The Big Interview, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
Hey, Brad.
Yep.
Die, Brad, die.
Local basketball expert, talking hobos, heroes, and street corner clowns on 92.9's Gary Parish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
How you doing, brother?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
That's what she said. I'm okay. Had a moment.
That's what she said.
And other things. And so, but I'm living it. I'm doing it. I put my whistle on Saturday, and we have 4th grade tryouts Saturday and Sunday. I tried to quit the other day, and the guy's like, no, I'm not letting you do that. So anyway, it'll be fun. I got a list of things that parents can and cannot do. They're going to hate me. Because when you go watch little kids basketball, actually when you go watch big kids basketball, when they catch the ball, their parents holler, shoot it. Well, no, we're trying to run a damn offense. Well, you quit doing that. So what I did this in Memphis one time. We had a group of 10-year-olds. I didn't play, but I had three 10-year-old groups 3 years in a row. They went like 150-2. And people hated me for that. I talked about it today with the guy, and we talked about Arnold Goldberg at Ida Wild and Doc Snyder and Ed Smith and the people at Pendleton, the people that kind of – but so there was a group whose parents would just interfere, and we're like 48-0. So I told them, when I say, if you keep hollering, shoot it, and do this, I'm going to take them out and have them go sit with you. And so one night at the field house, they had a tournament. I had 4 kids in the stands with their parents. So I'm going to have to break these people in. The parents of these kids are probably the same age as my kids. So I'm looking forward to teaching. I'm looking forward to getting back in the gym, blowing a whistle, inbound plays, and what all that. And probably right now I need to be doing it. So it's probably not what people want to hear about, but how you doing, Gary?
I'm great. I'll tell you this. Hats off to you and anybody who voluntarily or for work deals with other people's kids.
My God.
Because there is no scenario where I would do that.
No way.
There is no way I would spend time with other people's kids. I got no interest in that whatsoever.
Nope.
Yeah, and then let me say this. There's people, like one night at Bishop Byrne, and the kids follow me on social media, but the daddy got so mad, and he was a policeman in Mississippi. I mean, we're talking reputable people, that he kept calling me names from the bleachers at Bishop Byrne. I'm like, who the hell is that? So I took his kids out. And so that's the bench is my equalizer. He had them both take their uniforms off, true story, and walk out of Bishop Byrne in their underwear because he was so damn mad. Yeah, so you say that. There are people that, man, Gary, I've done this a long time, thousands of kids, and other than being called an idiot and a bad coach, there's never been nothing, other than I bought players, that's okay too. There's never been nothing, you know, negative said. I was going to do my podcast Thursday night. He was on the road recruiting today. And there was a kid that played for me, and I kept saying, Forbes, the kid is special. And the kid went to Appalachian State. He's from Johnson City. And now he starts for Forbes at ETSU. His name is Patrick Good. And he's dealing with a torn, he was telling me whatever. And rather than have surgery, the kid is playing. So there, anyway, and he's got 2 kids that played for me on his team. So he'll be with me Thursday night. Last week, we just did, people called. I was shocked. They called. We had a good time. We talked basketball. We'll keep that going. You can get it at KeithEasterwood.com. Whatever you get your podcast.
Apple Podcast is the best place to find it, the easiest place to find it.
Well, that's good. Thank you very much. Because you get like a million people. I get like a few thousand. So that's okay, too. But I'm having fun with that. So I got Forbes. I mean, we've had, and what's been good, Gary, is like the night I had Will Wade after the Memphis game, you know, and you know this, coaches talk to me like I'm a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I have Forbes on Thursday, he's like, Easter, what you want to talk about? I said, hey, let's just talk basketball. And so And I didn't know, and you'll hear it Thursday night. When he took the ETSU job, he didn't know he didn't have a secretary. Because he was like, yeah. So the level at support in Memphis, the ETC, I mean, I go over to UTC, and I'm like, God, how do y'all leave? I mean, I traveled better with some of my AAU teams. But so the level is different, and I was joking with him. He said, well, send me everything because I don't have a secretary. I thought he was lying. And they're 7-3, and we were joking he was recruiting. I said, well, hell, if you get a tournament bid and get a win, you won't be there next year anyway, which he kind of laughed. But and that's what a lot of those guys are chasing. So, but that'll be fun. It'll be fun to catch up with him. He's the one that, good or bad, right or wrong, introduced me to vodka and Red Bull. That's a hell of a mix. So a lot going on. Tigers got the Jackrabbits. I've talked to a lot of people today. A lot of people have checked on me. Thank you very much. I thought the first 35, 36 minutes of the Memphis-Texas Tech game was what I was told was going to happen. They didn't finish it. And again, you know, I guess people are tired of me preaching, being patient. But I do get to talk to staff members. I do know they're going to try some stuff. And so the other day, I think for that brief window, they did really good. And then a veteran Texas Tech team pulled away from them. So, again, if you're questioning the staff, I like what's going on, you know, with Sam and Tony and Mike and Penny. I think you're seeing some things on the floor. Can they continue to play Martin and Lomax? I don't know. I mean, who the hell am I? I'm trying to figure out the best fourth grader in town. So, and the key to that is you get a kid that failed. It's ironic that AAU did this. They have grade exemptions. So I got to find three kids, three little gnarly, greasy boogers who have failed the second or third grade. So we're playing 10 and under, but they're actually 11 going on 12. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you got to find not great students.
Yeah, a guy said to me today, Bob Royal, he's Bama Bob. He used to call George Lapidus a lot. Big-time Tiger fan, long-time Tiger fan. And we were talking, he's like, God, Keith, you've traveled with some of the worst and best in the city. And back in the day, Gary, it wasn't, and I don't know where it changed, but it seems like financially you don't have as many guys that need. Maybe they're we just don't keep them. I don't know. But there were teams I left from Memphis, you know, and I got a free van. I got free hotel rooms. I begged on some money because if I couldn't take care of it, it wasn't going to get taken care of. And so, and even at first with Sonny, there wasn't a lot of money. And then when I got with the Y, we went from traveling and putting four in a room to two. That was like damn like a college team. And I'm not knocking him, but we were in Kingsport, Tennessee one night, and we went to visit Cowboy. Cowboy had two rooms. He was traveling with the Durham brothers. I'm sure you remember them, a lot of Jerry and Terry Durham.
Yeah.
I think they were Penny when he got shot. I don't know. But it's not for me to say. And they had two rooms. The Durham brothers and Cowboy was in a hotel room, and then the whole team was in like 11 guys in one room. So, and I see that quite a bit when you travel. So all AAU ball is not the same. If your kid's playing on a team and you're staying 11 deep in one room, that ain't a real AAU team, if you will. And like you and me had mentioned before, and you and I talk about, if you got to pay to play, you're probably better off doing something different.
Well, I had a friend of mine whose son was playing basketball a few years back, and he was pretty good at his middle school or something like that, right?
Right.
And she was interested in summer.
He made him in the driveway, huh?
Right. She was interested in summer basketball and like right. getting him locked up with an AAU team or whatever. And I said, in the nicest way possible, I told her, if he were good enough for what you have in mind, you wouldn't have to look for anybody. They would have already. He's playing in Memphis in a league that I know, you know, the people who are summer basketball decision makers, like they monitor these leagues. They know who's who, even at 13, right. 14, 15. Like if you live in Memphis and you are a 15-year-old basketball player, if you're good enough to do, I think he might have been 16 at the time. If you're a 16-year-old basketball player in Memphis, if you're good enough to do what she was trying to do with him, wanted him to do, if you know, the nicest way possible, I just said, if he was good enough, you wouldn't have to ask me. They would be pulling you in different directions. He's probably not that level. To your point, if you have to pay to play summer basketball,
yeah.
your kid probably isn't as good as you think that he is.
Yeah, one night at Bishop Byrne, the 13 and under state tournament, I coached over 20 teams to win AAU state championships. Not that anybody gives a rat's rear about it, but we had Herb Wright had a group. I had a group. There was other groups. I had a kid actually get Fords of birth certificates. Long story. But there were 20 high school coaches in the upper deck at Bishop Byrne to watch a group of seventh graders going to be eighth graders. And I've told this many times. A lot of kids in Memphis, and you're right, there's a subculture there. There's a couple of guys, Chuck Loss, and I can start spitting names out, Harold Rivera, just guys. And I used to be one of those guys. And you could call them and say, hey, there's a seventh grader in Humes. Oh, yeah, Little Billy or Ray Ray, Naughty Head, whatever. and so, and you know, and it's different. And I miss it more than what people know. So the middle schools in Memphis are about to play Christmas tournaments, New Year's tournaments. We're talking 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And then they'll go, like Penny took his team to Jackson for a state tournament. Gary, they're through here. They played 12 middle school games, and they're through. That's why we start so early with them. So how you can never catch up to Memphis. And they give me the blues all the time. I got Memphis stuff on right now. And I bought me some new Memphis stuff, and somebody mailed me some Memphis stuff. So when I go to tryouts Saturday, I'm fresh. But, yeah, so culturally, if you're in it, if you're around it, I mean, that's why people are so crazy about Wiseman and DJ and Dandridge, and they nitpick this basketball team. You know, there's a guy that called me from Puerto Rico. We talked basketball. He's amazed, you know, at the passion and enthusiasm people in Memphis, not just for the Tigers, but the Grizzlies, high school, middle school. You start hearing about some of these kids when they're in the damn sixth grade. But, again, I mean, I got a call one Saturday morning and said, hey, man, come to Ed Rice Community Center. There's a kid playing, and you're not going to believe him. It was Tony Harris in the fifth grade. And so I don't know when you talk to college coaches, when I do, I don't know of another city that replicates it. They'll give Detroit a little bit, maybe some Chicago. The dynamics have changed a lot in New York. Baltimore is a lot like Memphis, but I'm telling you, man, I miss it. I miss being part of it. I'm glad that I had a piece of it. I'm glad when the history books get written, my name will be an afterthought, but it's a really special thing to be involved in the Memphis basketball community.
Last thing before I let you go, you mentioned South Dakota State is inside FedEx Forum tonight. It's a good basketball team with a great player in Mike Dom. You think Memphis goes to 4-4 or drops to 3-5?
Well, I look at it from a coaching standpoint. They gave us, I mean, the other day, the wife here, take the debit credit card, go to the mall, because you had Alabama football, Memphis football, Tiger basketball, and I had a drink, and I didn't want to be bothered. So I'm looking at incremental improvement. They gave us really, I mean, I'm telling you, the staff and the team gave us 35, 36 damn good minutes. Texas Tech is better than South Dakota State. South Dakota State is obviously on the road. I think if they can pick up on what they did the other day, I think they get to win, but it's not so much about that. I'll be glad when they get into conference play. I'm not looking forward to the Tennessee game, but I think they got a chance because the conference is not real good to get some W's, and I think what you're seeing with his staff is they're putting a lot of time in. I don't know who did the pregame scouting report tonight. Was it Sam? Was it Tony? Was it Mike? We'll find out, because you can tell what they said on the bench and you'll know. But they had a damn good game plan for Texas Tech. I mean, I don't care who you are, whether you're, you know, again, some of these people, Tubby, Josh, this guy, that guy, they're not happy with nobody. But if you watched that game objectively and didn't see and couldn't see that they had a damn good game plan that just didn't finish it, then you're really not smart about your basketball. So I don't know. I hope they get to win. I hope they win every game here. I hope they go. Let's watch for improvement. Let's watch for rotation. I think the staff has figured some things out, and I think it showed the other night against Texas Tech.
That is Keith Easterwood. He's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. He's with me every Tuesday in the first hour. Hey, I'm glad you're feeling better, man. That's good to hear.
Yeah, you throw the kitchen sink up, and it usually works that way. So, no, I'm good. I'm good, Gary. Thanks for checking on me. People don't know, you don't make phone calls, and you're not a touchy-feely guy. And for you to text me the other night, then the guy today said, hey, next time, you know, maybe don't be so whatever, but hell, I'm not a very, very subtle individual anyway. So, but thank you so much for checking on me.